A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
One of the suggestions we got on the text line here, Paul, Tuscaloosa.
No one would care.
I know. It's Alabama.
Everyone thinks that these cities could handle it.
They can't.
I don't think Alabama, the Crimson Tide, would let an NFL team be in Tuscaloosa.
I don't think they would either. King of Switch, I have to be careful how I read this. He says, LOL, Joe George Radio, you are funny. You really think the NFL is putting another team in that bleep city? I do.
It is a dump.
It is.
You got a lot of conservative owners.
That's why I haven't gone back.
Yeah. I think they will be hard-pressed to get a second team there. Also, with the history of the Bears.
Yeah, if they move to the suburbs, Soldier Field's going to be an option. The city itself has said they would buy the team. They don't even need an owner. Like, the city of Chicago would purchase a team to, if the Bears go to the suburbs, that the city would pay for it.
Oh, they're gonna rehire Lori Lightfoot?
They're going to be like,
you know what? If Lori Lightfoot ran an NFL franchise, I would be in for Chicago expansion because that would be an effing disaster.
I would love that.
And she would
a colossal disaster.
There'd be so many sound bites. Oh, my God. You know what? Let's speak this into existence. I've changed my mind. Chicago needs another team. We need Lori Lightfoot to be an NFL owner.
I do tend to agree. San Antonio's a no, though. I don't think Jerry would ever let that happen. There's a real Cowboys footprint.
Hannah wouldn't let that happen either.
You think that? I don't think they care about the Texans there. Do you?
I think that if the Texans are good, that some San Antonians will convert. This year is a very interesting year. Very interesting year. Now, they're going to have to win a Super Bowl, but people would convert if the Texans won a Super Bowl.
And then, like most Dallas fans, they'll just go back to Dallas at some point again, like Rangers fans did. Mm-hmm. They were all Astros fans, and now they're all Rangers fans.
Yeah.
At least for the next 3 months. What about Austin, very quickly? Is Austin that different than San Antonio? I also don't think it could support it, but.
I mean, you got all the tech people there. I don't know if Austin's quite big enough, but if you made like a team that's halfway between Austin and San Antonio.
Is that Round Rock? Is that halfway? Sean?
San Marcos? That's wrong side. That's
wrong,
in north.
I'm going the wrong way.
Right?
Yeah, I guess, but San Marcos. I mean, if Austin can't have a team, San Marcos definitely can't have a team.
But I mean, where would you put the stadium? Sort of like with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it would be like in South Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our Astros opening day countdown.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
24 days until the Astros play the New York Yankees here at Minute Maid Park.
Huzzah!
I can't wait. I'm so ready for baseball to be back.
Maybe
because I
need
sports.
Yeah, I'm just struggling for content.
Right I need sports that aren't the Rockets. No offense. We'll talk about Jalen Green's brownie points later. But,
he did get some brownie points this
but
week.
But I need baseball back. I need.
Well, we all need the Astros back. The Texans were a nice change of pace after the season was done. But the way that it ended, to lose like that in Game 6 and Game 7 after how awesome Game 5 was.
Such a bummer.
To Texas of all teams. To see some people jump on the Rangers bandwagon because I'm rooting for Texas. Very common boomer L that we saw a lot of people have.
I still can't believe people had that take.
A lot of people had that take.
And
friends
I,
of mine.
I get the take at first. As soon as they win the World Series, you have to apologize for it. Because now you're literally saying you rooted for a team in your own division.
Yes.
If you're an Astros fan, to win the World Series like they did.
Jail.
Are you rooting for them now?
Shouldn't be.
Are you going to root for them on opening day?
Texas forever. Like, it's so funny. I don't. Now, I'm from the Northeast. There's lots of cities near each other. All the Northeastern cities hate each other. But it's weird that like Houston and Dallas are going to forget their differences so that one team can root for the other ones in a massive, massive series. No, F that city. That's how it works.
Especially because
we dumped
on Dallas and Arlington when they put up the congrats Astros and their colors in their skyline in 2017.
Softies.
It was so stupid. Mm-hmm. This is like the people who chant SEC. You are idiots.
I don't get that either.
If you are, Sean.
I hate all the other teams that would be in
don't
my
do it. Don't do it.
Texas believes it's bigger than the SEC, yeah. though.
I'm more likely to. I mean, they people at the game literally did that when they beat Alabama in Alabama.
That's
Texas
fine.
Fans just cheated, chanted SEC.
But see, that's like out of spite.
Then they chanted at the Big 12 title game.
That's fine too. That yeah. also feels like
no.
It's out
the
of
sarcastic
spite.
SEC yeah. chant is the only time you should do it.
Yeah,
sarcastic SEC chant. I like that. It's one of those things where rooting against your rivals. Because let's be honest,
gross.
Well, no, I mean, rooting against your rivals is
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
Because, let's be honest, most teams are not going to win a championship in a given year. But rooting for the team you hate to also lose, I mean, that's something that you're very likely to get
it's a way
on a
you can win.
Basis. Exactly. That's how you can win every year. And I know for you, Joe, with your Bears, like, you're hoping for Packer disaster.
I'm hoping Jordan Love dies. Okay? Like...
No.
Like, I need some like semblance of
metaphorically, Joe. Is,
yeah,
course,
metaphorically. Career died. I had to literally like Joel Blake hates Jordan Love so much. At one point, I found myself almost rooting for Jordan Love this year because I was like, he's way better than you think he is. Now Joel was right in the end. Jordan Love stinks, but yeah, I need his career to die. Thank you for helping me clarify yeah, that, Sean. Go. All right, our Astros question: do you have more faith in Jeremy Peña taking the next step in his career, or Jose Abreu being better than he was in the second half last year?
Well, I am biased here because
I know you
knows,
love him. You look into Peña, his eyes, you sing him songs.
Jeremy Peña is my friend, and I
you bring him flowers.
Him. I don't know if it's a two-sided friendship, but what you saw from him in that postseason to what you saw the year afterwards, I feel like it's very, very possible that the star, I guess the limelight for any young man going through a ridiculous postseason run, going from that to being on the late night television circuit and legitimately having women screaming, "Have my babies, Jeremy!" when he was seen out in public, it would be a lot for anyone to handle.
It's a lot.
So I can understand why last year was a step back. I was very curious as to what he would work on this past offseason to get back to where he used to be. I want to say that I believe in Jeremy Peña to get back to maybe not what he was in the postseason, which was honestly ridiculous. It mm-hmm. was in such an insane couple of weeks for him. But the person you're comparing him to is Jose Abreu, who did have some of his metrics, if you will, declining going into last year. He finished the season great. He's doing the Pilates. I feel like because we've seen Abreu be very good to great before in the majors, I think that Abreu continuing some version of this and not being as bad as he was early mm-hmm. on in the year is more likely than Jeremy Peña all of a sudden becoming the guy that we saw in the postseason again.
Interesting. I'm surprised you said that because of your relationship with Jeremy.
I mean,
Peña.
If you're...
I feel like you might have just ruined your friendship.
If you're trying... Well, I mean...
Now, you were fair and balanced, so I hope he yeah, understands that.
But trying
there
to be
are,
honest.
But there are soft boys on the Houston Astros that when you say things that are fair and balanced, they don't talk to you anymore.
Well, listen. Real friends tell their friends what's up.
That's true. I'm going to disagree with you, though.
Okay.
I think Jeremy Peña is going to really figure it out this year. Now, I don't think Jeremy Peña is ever going to be this MVP, Carlos Correa-level player. I think that when you talk about a contract extension with him, it would be pretty reasonable and well below the top market of shortstops. But I do believe that Jeremy Peña is going to have a massive year this year, at least in terms of 20-25 home runs. We'll see the power come back.
20-25.
Oh. And the biggest thing for him that where I could be wrong on this is if this kid doesn't stop chasing sliders, he's never going to be what I want him to be. But that feels like such an easy issue to fix. You know, Jose Abreu can't get his power back that he had when he won his no offense, fake MVP in 2020.
Fake MVP?
And if the Dodgers World Series...
Spoken like a true Cubs fan.
No, I'm just saying, if we're going to call the Dodgers World Series a fake World Series, then you also have to call Jose Abreu as a fake MVP.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Like, you can't have it one-sided, okay. Paul. You got to... It's all or nothing.
I just like saying that he is a former MVP in the Astros lineup.
I do love him. Though.
You love him.
I love Jose Abreu.
Okay.
He was my one White Sox player that I couldn't hate. So I was very excited when he came here.
Interesting.
But I think Peña, if he fixes that one problem, it just will go such a long way into his issues, because he just so often chases really bad pitches. And if he can limit that, he doesn't have to have a Bregman-level eye.
I actually thought his pitch selection got better towards the end, but the problem was that the power just left. And, okay, maybe the different launch angle is going to help him on that front. Honestly, I mean, it can't get any worse because he just stopped hitting home runs. This guy that big should be cranking him.
Yeah, he should be. But that's where the muscles don't mean too much to me.
They don't?
It's nice that he comes in, you know, jacked.
This is the kind of...
This is like Alex Bregman. Remember Alex Bregman did this a couple years ago? Mm-hmm. He's like, I gained 25 pounds of muscle this offseason.
Well, he did that this offseason, too.
So he lost... He gained a bunch of muscle 1 year, lost it all, and then now it's all back?
I guess so.
I can't keep track with him.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you're thinking, like, it's not all about the muscles. No, it is all about the muscles, Joe. This is the kind of rhetoric that is going to keep you from getting back into the gym and getting gains.
Well, no, it's not all about the muscles for home runs.
It's all about the muscles for everything.
I'm not trying to hit dingers.
So? You should be trying to get muscles. You should be trying to get jacked. True. You should always be trying to look your best. You should be a vain, shallow person like me.
Will it make my life better?
No, because I'm single and alone and live with a cat. But hey, you'll look good in the mirror.
Well, then you're not alone.
It's true.
That's
true. You have a cat. And yourself in the mirror.
I do have myself in the mirror.
You have both those things.
He's looking good.
You have us.
Patrick Bateman.
You have me, at least. I don't know if you have Sean.
No.
No, that's a no. You're not there.
No,
for Paul.
No. He's last two years, he's had me.
That's true.
Still,
we're
still stuck together.
Well, look. Sometimes you need people
package
like.
Deal.
Sometimes you need
key
people like.
Who's key? Who's peel?
That's a good question.
I could see you going more dramatic, like Jordan Peele.
I think you said exactly what you needed to stroke my ego after saying that you don't want to work with me anymore right there. I heard it.
No.
I heard it in the way that you...
I just said we're stuck working together.
Yeah.
That's all I said.
Yeah, stuck. Key word.
I said stuck's fine.
Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Okay. I'm here. I'm going to say something really nice about Paul.
Please do.
Sometimes you need people like Paul Gallant in your life.
What does that mean?
Sometimes you have accomplishments in your life and people don't believe in them.
Oh.
And sometimes Paul Gallant will be your white knight, and he will be there for
that's
you.
That's true.
We'll talk about this next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So, Joe, over the weekend, I got a push notification on my phone.
I got some of those, too. What was yours about?
It was an ESPN one.
Oh, mine says Kelsey tears up.
Kelsey who?
Jason Kelsey. Oh. He cried.
Well, these are the important things in sports that we need to hear about immediately. But there was something else that I saw, Joe. And it's interesting because I feel like I've seen push notifications of this variant more often than I've seen push notifications for any other type of story. NFL, NBA. I got a push notification for Caitlin Clark breaking the all-time scoring record for basketball at the collegiate level. Now, a lot of people are probably listening right now. I'm sure there's some pissed off LSU Tiger fan right now who's thinking to themselves, Paul, as he puts his alcohol that he's been drinking and driving down, Paul, I can't believe that you would put them in the same conversation. And you know what? At first, Joe, I would have honestly been a little annoyed by this. I remember them talking about this. Wait, hang on. This is two different levels of sports. But you know what? It's time. I brought a prop to the station today. I have a helmet on right now. Joe, I'm a white knight. I am here for the ladies. You might ask, what kind of ladies? All the ladies.
All the ladies?
I'm here for all of the ladies. I stand with women. You know, when I'm not on the weekends going to the homeless shelter, when I'm not on the weekends being 6'4" and also, helping out doggos, you know what I do? I watch women's basketball. Okay? And I will not stand for the misogynistic slander of John Granato on the bench this morning. I'm sorry. I won't stand for it. Okay? Guys, they play a game. We play a game. We all play games together. We're all one love. We're all one human race. And Caitlin Clark, to me, is somebody that we need to give more respect to. Okay? So I will ride as the white knight of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I ride valiantly onto the internet, fighting the fight for all the women out there. By the way, I'm 6'4", and I do a lot of community service. I stand for women. I stand. And her record is more impressive than Pistol Pete Maravich's record. Oh, look at me. I'm Pistol Pete. Oh, look at me. I'm shooting it 57 times a game. Oh, look at me. I was probably drunk half the games. I'm Pistol Pete.
You feeling okay?
I'm feeling great because I'm a white knight. I'm on the right side of history, Joe.
You are.
Yeah.
You are on the right side of history.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
Thank you.
I kind of wish that she would have made it out, not on a free throw, though. Doesn't it kind of ruin the moment? A little bit. Is this a bad take?
Hey, guys. Both of you. I know you're looking at me. You look funny.
I'm just trying to figure out how well the audience can hear you.
Can you tell that I'm looking at you? I don't
yeah. know if you can you tell that you
can you guys hear me?
I mean,
a little.
A little.
It's not great.
Should I take the mask back off on my
that's much better.
That's back to normal professional sounding great.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was very good, though. Could you actually see us?
I could, yeah.
I have so many questions.
Why?
Why? Why do you have it?
Why am I a white knight?
I got
because
this.
I care about women. Oh.
No, just why do you have the helmet?
Ren Fair.
Renaissance Festival, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many outfits do you have for the Ren Fair?
11.
Sean says 11. Over, under.
Under. But...
By a lot.
We'll get there. We'll get
there. Ren Fair's great. I go every year.
One of my friends, I got really hammered the second to last time I went to the Ren Fair, and I had this big like broadsword that it's like a foam broadsword.
Did you get kicked out?
No. I told my friend, and again, we were hammered. We're in a parking lot, and I just said, like, yo, hit me as hard as you can in the head while I wear this helmet. And he hit me, and I got a busted lip for like 4 days.
So he hit you in the face?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But I feel like when you tell someone to hit you in the head to test the quality of the helmet.
If you put this thing on, for those who don't know, again, I'm wearing a Medieval Knight helmet, and you can lift Twitch up the YouTube. Visor. But you put the visor down, Twitch and YouTube, you can see, like, this thing should provide protection. But
yeah, but I just assume that if you tell someone to hit you in the head, they're going to hit you, like, in the side.
Well, he did hit me in the side, yeah.
That's
all it took.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is, you know what, Joe? Now, online, when I see people hating on the ladies in sports, you know what I do?
White knight.
I put the helmet on. I ride forward. I am Sir Gallant. I stand for women. I stand with women.
I'm not going to tell you how to white knight, but maybe spray paint the helmet.
Well, I got that's next
I was
year's
thinking the same.
Because now I have to ask, what does the word white qualify?
I don't know, Sean.
Calling
I don't
yourself
see
a
color.
White knight.
I don't see color. So, okay. In addition to being a white knight for the women online. I don't see color. So this could be white. This could be black.
I feel like you should spray paint it, though. So do you have the rest of the armor?
Yeah, I got some stuff from China.
Like, it's like your Batman outfit, but you have a full...
Yeah.
How heavy is it?
It's not heavy. It's leather.
Okay, so it's not like a...
Yeah, wear it in the bedroom.
I mean, he's...
What?
I mean, he said he got hit the head and hurt, so it's not... It's not actual chainmail.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Dealing,
but I'm just trying to figure out what he's working.
It's not going to be sent to the Crusades.
It's 110 degrees outside. You don't die when you do that.
The Renaissance Festival, luckily, is in November, so generally.
Oh, that's
generally
right.
It's okay.
It's not as hot usually.
But I mean, well, hang on. Like, I would have survived the Crusades. The Crusades, they're walking through the desert. I would have been a great Crusader.
Mm.
Well, you seem skeptical.
I mean, I don't know. Like, great Crusader, Paul Gallant, like, doesn't necessarily always...
I mean, like, I wouldn't have been doing it for the right reasons. Like, I would have been one of the bad guys in Kingdom of Heaven. But, like, hey, like, I would have been a good fighter out there.
Okay. All right. We have something else we're going to start on this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's because I think everyone here on this show, station, listeners of any station in town that I've worked at, know that I am often accused of having bad takes.
Oh.
That
is this bad take way?
Bad Take Boulevard.
Bad Take Avenue.
I'm on there a lot.
Wrong Take Way.
By the way, it definitely like colored your face a little bit.
It did?
Yeah.
I don't see color, so I wouldn't know.
Well, yeah. it looks blue a little bit on your nose.
Oh, it's a little blue. Oh, and, that's from the time I wore the blue armor, the blue Braveheart.
And the face paint.
I got blue on my face. I blew myself. Damn.
All right, so we're going to do a good take, bad take. I'm going to try to end up on Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees, potentially. Or I'm going to get yelled at for jinxing things. So my question for the day, today, is this a good take or a bad take? I just purchased a ticket for an undisclosed amount of money for the Houston Cougars to win the national championship this year.
Oh,
wait, basketball.
When did you do it? Just now?
This weekend before the game winner.
Okay.
I should have done it earlier, but I'm not. I don't watch. I can't get super into college basketball when the NFL is going on. I'm a college basketball fan when the NFL season is over.
That makes sense.
I don't have time for it. I got a 3-year-old. I got a wife.
Matt, you throw around the 3-year-old every time. There's an excuse to be made.
I got to watch Vanderpump. I got to watch network television.
You can't say that. You could bring up the kid and the family. This is something Sean and I have discussed on when it was the Paul Gallant show back in the day. There's a lot of things that people love to use as excuses in 2024. Mm. Number one, and hey, all the power in the world to you, family and your child. And the third one is mental health.
Here's the thing. The nice thing about having a kid is that I have an excuse for everything for the rest of my life.
You do. Seriously. My sister has told me about this as well. She's like, I don't have to go to some things now.
I don't want to go? He's not feeling great. I don't want to go? He's just in a bad mood.
But you still got to watch the sports.
Well, you may not, but not college basketball.
Fair enough.
I feel like college basketball is on.
Non-conference college basketball.
Yeah.
I think
can be
do.
Like, you know, I don't
want to fat on that.
But now that the Cougs are in the Big
Texas
12,
State.
Listen, we don't want to shame our Texas State brethren. You know, they like to drink. They're good people.
Fair point. Touche.
To get back to where you were, you put on a ticket for the Cougs to win
the national championship.
Win the whole thing. And you did this before this past weekend.
Yeah, so it was on Friday. I got them at plus 800.
That's not bad. The odds are not great. Not great.
They're tied for second. It was the Huskies, UConn, plus 450. Houston and Perdue, plus 800. Now Purdue, they're frauds. That's why we call them Perdue. But so I got the Cougs plus 800 win the national championship game this year. I don't know. I feel like feel pretty good about it. I think this is the year.
Yeah. The only reason I would throw bad take at you is like couldn't have done this like 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah, because now
fair point.
You don't
Sean.
Have to. You don't have to watch the games to be like.
I know.
I know. Why don't you do it going into the year?
I know.
Kelvin Sampson, U of H. When have they been like bad?
And honestly, like the odds are like they're gonna get like plus 800 is probably the best value I can get at this point. Because to your point,
yeah, they're gonna be a one seed.
They're gonna be the one seed. Yeah. They're gonna probably win the Big 12 championship game. Which if they're in the Big 12 championship game, we'll air that game on the station. But plus, you know what? You gotta believe. You got to believe in their coach. Their coach is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Their
good
coach, he's going to be there for his players.
Yeah.
One of his players is having surgery.
He is.
And they were going to do the surgery tomorrow or Wednesday, and Kelvin Sampson said no. Kelvin Sampson said, I have to be there. I have to be there for my player. He said, I want to make sure we're there when he goes in, and I want to make sure he sees us when he comes out as part of being a family. That is Kelvin Sampson's culture. Will Jeremy Branham be there? We'll see.
It's a good question. I mean, I think I should be there as the you know, most loyal Coug that there is here. I mean, I didn't need to wait until a couple of games into the season to bet on the Cougs to win the Natty, and I still believe they will win the Natty with probably better odds now that this season-ending injury has taken place. God, it's got to be so intimidating to be whatever doctor is operating on this player and to have Kelvin Sampson perhaps like in the room breathing down the neck.
Yeah. He's definitely in the operating room.
100%.
While the surgery's taken. But like, he made it seem like, yeah, we're going to sit there. We're going to wave at him as he gets pushed through the door. No, Kelvin Sampson is like in scrubs. No mask, no gloves, old fashioned. Doesn't believe in washing his hands. Yes.
Gets out a whiteboard and draws, like, actually, this is the most efficient.
Like, this right here.
He has a meniscus drawn on the board.
What does a meniscus look like, Sean? What do you think?
I think it's like a little, like, cushion-looking thing.
Okay. That's a better answer than I thought I was going to get. I didn't know what you were going to give us there. But Kelvin Sampson, family matters to him. The team matters, and they matter to me.
That's good.
Great win this weekend. I can't wait to go Saturday.
I'm assuming you got tickets?
We got credentials.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's the guy that runs the credentials. I remember when I was going to the Final Four, and then all of a sudden I wasn't.
That was not my fault. That was their fault.
Well, I mean, Josh Beard and Joe George went. Interesting.
Huh. Well, I saw Jeremy tweet out that the tickets for the Kansas game went on sale and sold out in like 8 minutes.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of our interns this morning. She said she got the alert, like the campus alert for student tickets, and they were gone immediately, which I'm not surprised.
That's where you need a carrier dome so you can fit all your students into this.
I don't know why they don't do it like how like Duke and North Carolina and those schools do it, where you just the kids camp outside and whoever.
That's how it used to be. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you as a fratter, if you had a team,
well, we went to a D3 school, so no.
But if you had a team, you would have had eventually freshmen. You would have had to do it at one point, but you would have, that was a thing at Syracuse. Like you would have to camp outside in the freezing cold for like a couple of days to get tickets.
To get tickets for the older guys in the fraternity,
just so that the older guys in the fraternity would be very close in the student section.
Oh,
so they would take your seats. You just wait there for a couple
that
of days,
sucks.
And then they would take your seats. Yeah, you're camping out of the cold. It's like miserable.
All right, our 10-minute drill, that's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. If you've been living under a rock and you're a Houston Texans fan, you have not seen the news. Mike Evans will not be a Houston Texan. Mike Evans, it was reported over the weekend first that the Texans would not even be in the conversation. And then this morning, around 8 o'clock, Mike Evans signed a two-year, $52 million contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. $35 million of it is guaranteed. So Mike Evans is going to be catching passes from Baker Mayfield next year again, I think.
It depends on if Mayfield gets resigned. I've heard some interest from other teams, specifically New England mentioned. Mm. Yeah, not a fan of that. But it is a bit surprising that Evans is choosing to go back to Tampa Bay. Maybe he really likes living in the Bay. I got to say, someone who used to live there, it is pretty awesome. I love me some St. Petersburg, Florida. Some, though, I have seen Joe online lamenting that a guy who is from the area, Mike Evans is from Galveston, obviously played at Texas A&M, that he wouldn't have waited a little bit to potentially see if the Houston Texans were interested in him. I think that's a little bit disingenuous as a way to look at it, because I'm sure that even though there's no tampering allowed, that the Texans probably put out some feelers and asked if they were interested. If they weren't, then they just weren't. But I don't think this is some sort of indictment on the viability of the Texans or whether or not people want to play for them, the fact that Mike Evans has resigned with the Bucs. It is surprising nonetheless.
Yeah, and you know, like Fred here on the Twitch says, it surprised me Mike Evans didn't take a hometown discount. Yeah, he did not. That is a pricey contract. $35 million guaranteed over 2 years, 52, 53 overall. That, first of all, that means he's not a Texan. Like, there was no chance he was going to be a Houston Texan at that price.
And that's what's weird is I don't know what the Bucs are trying to do here.
Just keep their guy?
Yeah, but I mean, you might not have a quarterback next year. You don't really have a great way to draft the quarterback unless they're bringing Baker Mayfield back. And I mean, okay, you're the kings of the NFC South. You want to add another division title, Bill O'Brien style, but
where are you really going?
They're in a weird spot. If you go through the NFL and teams that are, it seems like they're in a good position, but they're also probably closer to just being in purgatory. I would put the Buccaneers in that category. I don't know how they go up from where they are. Like, Mike Evans is great. Baker was fine. But besides winning an NFC South championship, what are you going
to
accomplish?
I mean, getting to the divisional round of the playoffs was entirely a byproduct of playing a team that seemingly quit on the year in the Philadelphia Eagles.
I wouldn't do that next year.
Right. They're not going to win a playoff game next year. They could make it, though. The NFC South is garbage.
It is. But Atlanta could have Kirk Cousins next year. And I think very easily be the best team.
Exactly. I.e., the NFC South is garbage.
It's not good. Derek Carr stinks. That's the other thing we know, too. The combine over the weekend, not the weird stories haven't really started to leak out all the weird questions.
I know.
That
I'm bummed out. This is my favorite part of the NFL combine is when somebody asks a prospect, like, would you kill your mother with a brick or a broom? And the trick answer is you kill her with kindness because she's your mother and you love her.
Wasn't the question about, like, your mother that went really viral about your mother being a prostitute?
Des Bryant.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Des Bryant was asked if his mom was a prostitute.
Oh, a prostitute. Okay, I thought they asked crack whore. And I was like,
whoa.
That might be right.
That story might have been sanitized as it's been told over and over again.
Yeah, that might have been the real story, and then since then it's just turned into prostitute.
That's the only thing I think is noteworthy that comes out of the NFL Combine.
Des Bryant's mom is a...
No, it's more the questions that are asked of these prospects. They're leading questions. You're trying to piss them off. It's messed up. They're adults.
Well,
they shouldn't have to deal with that.
Speaking of getting pissed off, the first question to a future number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, it came in hot and spicy, as the kids would say.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you afraid to compete? How do you respond to people saying that you're worried to be compared side by side with your peers in medicals, measurements, and workouts? Are you afraid to be measured against this guy one-on-one? Is that why you're not doing things?
No, not doing things. It was a decision by me and my team, my family, and it comes down to that.
So Caleb Williams is asked, first question. This dude screams at him, are you afraid to compete? And are you afraid to weigh in against the other guys, go side to side? And when I first saw this clip, you sent it to me, actually, Paul.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this idiot? And then I realized...
He's just trying to make a big name in the big world.
There was this guy promoting his own question, going super viral on Twitter. And he's apparently since deleted said tweet. And that's probably awesome. Is going to get fired. I would put my money on that.
I don't know. I mean, he's raising awareness. But everyone was clowning him. Everyone, because of him defending the question, basically saying, well, someone needs to stand up to him and confront him. He was acting like he's the same people that are doing the same stuff to the White House press secretary and the president when they're actually made available. And, I mean, it was such a long-worded question. He should have just said, are you afraid of competition?
Yeah, well...
But even then, that's, like, not a good question, because who's going to go, yeah, sure am.
Yeah, like
yep.
Because it's also... he's asking about, like, weighing in.
Yeah.
And, like, getting his hands measured.
Are you scared you'll have smaller hands than your colleagues?
Are you scared you're going to be taller than Michael Penix?
It was bizarre. The fact that he deleted it, what a clown.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, own it.
Especially since he called attention to himself, asking the question and then doubled down in the replies to it, once again saying, yeah, this is the kind of question that people want.
Like, if you want to ask a question like that, go for it. You want to promote it, go for it. But then you can't be a coward.
I also don't ever remember a NFL combine, like, press conference thing where it's something like this, where it's a question that you would get at Super Bowl Media Day or...
Well, it's because it's what it's turned into. No offense to, like, people that, like, we are friends with and know, but they literally let anybody into the combine.
Yeah, but is that, like, just the last couple years they've done that? Because, again, like, this is, like... what Guillermo from the Jimmy Kimmel show asked people during the NBA Finals. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, it is. He's a fantasy football writer. And, like,
Now I get it. He's on the front lines of journalism.
He's on the front lines of journalism there.
He's just trying to make the next step. This is the way that he saw fit.
Yeah, because Dynasty Pros Fantasy Football, I actually know some of those guys there. I'm sure they're super proud that their director of content is asking
these
questions.
He's bold.
He directed some content.
He did direct some content. We talked about it on the show.
But then he deleted it.
Yeah, the deleting it is weak.
But then, this one wasn't a bad question. I don't even honestly know what the question was here, Paul. No idea what the question was.
So, Texas Tech, we love you. We'll just say that first. We'll love you. But Texas Tech is not exactly known for the majority, I would imagine, of the education that goes down there. It's a party school. I think it's fair to call it that. No offense, again, to anybody out there. But Tyler Owens, a Texas Tech prospect, was asked about outer space and whether he believes in it.
You guys are discussing that you don't believe in.
Nah, I don't believe in space. Like, you know, I'm a religious, so I think, like, we're just going right now. I don't think there's, like, other planets and stuff like that. I don't know.
What led you to that point, to believe in?
Well, like, I thought you should believe in, like, the heliocentric thing, like, he's a power and stuff, but then, like, I started seeing, like, flat earth stuff, and I'm like, they start bringing up valid points. So, I mean, I don't know. Could be real.
So basically, and the audio not the best there, but he said so. Space could be real. Maybe it isn't.
He doesn't
believe in other planets.
What?
I don't think he subscribes to the flat Earth theory, though. So this is what's tricky. Like, he's clearly thought about this. Perhaps we know one of his favorite recreational activities, just by proxy, given the deep thinking that he's doing. I don't know if it involves a little Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, or something like that. Whatever the case, the man has takes, and he does not believe in space. He does not believe in the existence of outer space.
Word of advice. If you ever are interviewing for a job and you have takes like this, keep them to yourselves.
Oh, you should ask interns about the space.
All right.
I kind of want to do
so
this.
So, I'm not going to lie. Like,
Gen Zers.
We have a little more freedom these days. Once upon a time, Barstool would record their intern interviews. Ooh. And they would have they would ask questions like this. And I kind of want to do it. Like, maybe to the interns we actually bring in. Not that I've turned anyone away.
I'm in.
But I think, yeah, the three of us interviewing interns. I can ask serious questions, and then you guys can ask about space.
I'll be bad cop. I'm just going to walk. Yeah. I'm just going to gloweringly walk around in a circle. Just be like, damn it, Jenkins!
You're gonna be the Mark Wahlberg from The Departed.
Yeah, yeah. No damn cop!
Yeah, I just... How do you not believe in space?
I don't know. I definitely told Paul this. I took astronomy in college as a science credit. Very funny science credit.
Did I waste my whole semester?
Well, you ever been out there?
Well, at Texas, they, you know, went through the whole semester, you know, about planets, Jupiter, Saturn, etc.
Was it fake news for a whole semester?
Well, no. And then, you know, the week before the final, the teacher goes in and he was like, hey, by the way. No, it's all BS anyway. Don't tell anyone. All right, later.
It's not real.
Everyone got an A.
And like, to your point, how do you believe in that space is not real, but not believe in flat Earth? I feel like these people should like all, you should believe in all.
Should go hand in hand?
Yeah. Like, I don't believe in space. The Earth is flat. Yeah,
let my man zag.
Yeah.
Because if it's around Earth.
What's above us?
Where's the sun?
Just God.
What is the sun?
It's God.
Good question.
I think you're right, Paul.
Is the sun cold? Because space is cold.
I've heard part of my take ask that question
before. I know,
it blows my mind. Like, first time they asked it, they go, is the sun cold because space is cold? And I went, huh. It's like the only time I like questioned life. Because I don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming the answer is no.
It's freezing cold.
That's what they say, but like I don't think that makes sense.
It's freezing cold.
But then why is the sun hot to us?
Because there's air and the air is heating up.
There's no air in space.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
Space isn't real.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier to just believe that, though. Like to Tyler Owens' credit, he said Texas Tech prospect, defensive back. He does not believe in space. To his credit, I mean, then you just don't even have to think about it.
That's true.
You know, and people worry about guys, and obviously Josh Rosen failed for other reasons, but it was just a little bit of like, I don't know, does he have too many interests outside football?
Yeah,
this guy, he's not even thinking about space.
Yeah, he's not thinking about space.
He's not looking up. He's looking at the man across from him.
Yes, he's trying to guard the wide receiver. That's what he's doing.
All right, once again, LeBron James shows he's the worst person on the planet. And we got a date update from Paul. Can't wait. That's next.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George with special guest star Paul Gallant and recurring character Joe George, also featuring Sean Mapes.
Text here from, based off the last segment here, Paul, 7218, the worst take like this into referring that space isn't real. Water isn't wet. What water gets on is wet. That one hurts my brain. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
But there's H2O molecules on H2O molecules.
So then water's wet, I guess.
All these H2O molecules, I'm so wet.
Pull that, please. Thank you. Yeah, all right, LeBron James.
You're welcome.
He's back in the news. LeBron's always in the news for something.
Is he wet?
Depends on the night.
From
three. The sweat.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I meant from three. 40% you said sweating. Year. I meant from three. Yeah.
Sweating is wet.
Yeah, that's true. Paul, I don't even know how to set up this audio.
So, LeBron James has scored 40,000 points, which is a momentous accomplishment. No doubt. I mean, he already broke the record for all-time points scored. No one's ever going to get to 40,000.
Yeah, he's the first ever to do it.
I will say over and over again, I'm not the biggest fan of LeBron James, mainly because of the things he says off the court. But, I mean, he's a phenomenal basketball player when he's not unnecessarily flopping. So, that's every player in the NBA. LeBron James went on a very long, thoughtful answer after passing the record for 40,000 points, and randomly went on a tangent that I think a lot of people are having a hard time believing. Here's LeBron.
Besides my family and my friends and my city, and then some people in my city as well, because we even know some of them people, to be quite honest with you, everybody wanted to see me fail when I got to the league. Everybody was just like, it's no way he's going to be able to exceed, you know, the expectations that's put upon him. There's no way. I seen, for the first time in a long time, I seen the commercial that was played before my first game. And when I rewatched it today for the first time, I was like, I think they was mentioning like all the greats that ever played the game of basketball. I think it was like Big O and Michael and Kareem and Kobe and forgot who all else was in that commercial, whatever the case may be. Could be wrong about some of the names that I mentioned, but it was, and then it was like, and the next one, LeBron James, and I didn't even see that commercial when it happened, but I was like, watching it today, I was like, what the hell? Like that expectation on an 18-year-old kid, like that was insane.
I mean, to his point, it was, but it's not like you're special, LeBron. There has been plenty of players that they've done this to. They did this to Bryce Harper.
If this had happened for LeBron, say, the last 5 years,
yeah,
I think it would have been a lot more difficult. Now, they still did put a lot of pressure on him, so he is right there. But it is kind of funny, when being asked about scoring 40,000 points, he gets in a little humble brag at the end. That should have never been placed expectations-wise on anybody. He is right. I think the first part of it, though, is this idea that everyone was rooting for him to fail. I totally disagree with that. For the most part, he was liked by all fan bases before the decision.
100%. He was, I don't think anyone wanted LeBron James to fail until he went to Miami.
Correct.
And they had that stupid press conference where him and Bosh and Wade are up there, and then LeBron goes, we're going to win not one, not two, not three, not four.
That was the I remember the celebration.
There's the smoke coming out from the stage.
Right. Like, and when he made the announcement too, okay, like I get it. Like you're making a decision for yourself. But imagine doing that to the people of Cleveland who, of course, were going to take it the wrong way, where you leave like that.
I mean, he literally sat in a boys and girls club in Cleveland. Who in their right mind?
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Like, oh, is that where
it was? Which is like the, one of the richest cities in the United States of America.
I thought it was in Cleveland.
No, no. He went to Greenwich, Connecticut for it. Because there was some speculation that he might go to New York or something like that.
That's right.
But no, it was in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I remember that because I was like, there are so many boys and girls clubs you could have chosen. And you chose the one in the city where every person who lives there has a castle. Okay. But, I mean, this is the LeBron experience. He deserves credit for getting past 40,000 points. But at the same time, man, sometimes you hear what he says, and while some of what he said is right, I think specifically at the end, that was a lot of pressure for anyone to put on a specific player.
Yeah.
But people were not rooting for him to fail until that moment in time.
Yeah. Part of me thinks he's saying that at the end because of just coming off the Bronny stuff with the mock draft, where the pressure is so high on his kid. And he knows his kid has zero chance, no offense, to live up to the expectation of being LeBron. His dad just scored 40,000 points.
Yeah.
He's never going to live up to that. And the only time I've ever heard anything that discounts LeBron at the beginning of his career, I've heard interviews in the past with Carlos Boozer, who was still under contract with Cleveland at the time, saying that they don't need LeBron. That they had whoever their small forward was, Boozer was like, man, we're good. Like, we don't need LeBron. Yeah,
that video goes viral once in a while. It's like Darius Miles and Ricky Davis being like, hey, you know what? He can be a good role player for us, you know, help get us some easy shots and stuff. And it's like, dude, you haven't heard about this guy?
This is where I also, 40,000 points, it's incredible. No one else will ever probably, I can't imagine someone else doing it.
No. I mean, unless they had like a 4-point shot.
Yeah, a 4-point shot, and like you just have to find someone that's not going to sit out 20 to 30 games every year by choice.
Yeah.
And and play for like the next 2 decades.
Yeah. He, to his credit, too, I mean, the guy's body is still in incredible shape.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has, I mean, what's the last like serious injury that's taken him out?
He's had like minor injuries recently that keep him out for like 30, 40, 50 games.
And I think he was playing through something last year, but he might have been hamming that up a little bit once the Lakers looked like they weren't going to be doing anything. That was maybe 2 years ago, I think, when that happened at the end of the year. But, I mean, the guy has been an absolute like rock star when it comes to just his availability. And that deserves credit because, like with Tom Brady, like the fact that and playing in a much more demanding physical sport as far as like what you're expecting a quarterback to do versus what you're expecting a guy who's basically a power forward to do. I mean, it's insane that we have yet to see, like, even with Kobe Bryant, we had a couple of years where like the guy was out for the whole season with an Achilles injury and stuff. I haven't seen that with LeBron.
Yeah, the first 15 years of his career, he played 80 games every year played 40 minutes a game and scored 27 points a game. Like, that by itself, you just need to be perfect and have good luck.
Well, and when you count on his playoff minutes, he's lapped everyone by careers. He's played more career playoff minutes than most guys have played regular season minutes.
Yeah.
So I give him credit for that, but this idea that everyone wanted LeBron James to fail.
Wrong.
I don't know. Like, I don't even – maybe it's the way I'm wired. I can't remember the last time someone got drafted or was being hyped up at 17, 18 years old, and my first inclination was, I want that person to fail.
Caleb Williams.
Rude. Rude, Sean! Like, I know you think that way when you're on the message boards and you're seeing kids go to A&M over UT, but like...
Sean, big message board guy.
Connor Wegman. Didn't want him anyway.
Do you have a hidden message board name that we don't know about? No. That wouldn't surprise me if you did.
He said that with a wink and a twinkle in his eye.
You think I care about recruiting?
Those are the weirdest people on the planet. They are.
Do you think I'm the weirdest person on the planet?
Nope. But the 50-year-old men who get upset with 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds in what high school?
Yeah. He was getting roasted for buying the popcorn top for Dune.
Yeah. That's something that? Tangible.
Yeah, I don't think dude.
That's not some... Oh, no, it's tangible. It is tangible.
How much are you going to sell that for?
I put my hand all up in it.
Okay. Are Texans fans going to be disappointed pretty much this entire offseason? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.